Welcome to Blue Collar BS, a podcast that busts the popular myth that we can't find good people, highlighting how the different generations of today, the boomers, Gen X, millennials, and Gen Z, are redefining work so that the industrial revolution that started in the U.S. stays in the U.S.
Everyone, welcome back to another fun-filled, exciting episode of the Blue Collar BS podcast. I am your co-host, Brad, along with the one, the only, Stephen Doyle Jr. out of the great state of Michigan. So, how are you, Mr. Doyle?
I am doing well, feeling a little froggy right now, but we're doing good. So, how you doing?
All right. Well, I'm doing fantastic. When this show airs here in May, Hopefully, I will have landed a large muskie by then.
Ooh.
Opening weekend and doing some fishing. And hopefully by then we got some nice fish pictures to deal with.
Oh, yeah, that would be nice. I should, you know, go fishing too. I haven't done that in a while.
Get out in your kayak and canoe and go fishing.
I can get out of my kayak, or I can get out in my smoker craft and take a couple extra people out with me if I wanted to.
You should do that.
I should do that.
You should take your clients out as a show of appreciation.
I should. A lot of things I should do.
We should do. Hey, could you come up with a new habit to your present, Steve?
Yeah, I am doing things, Brad.
Go back to episode 152 and you'll know what we're talking about.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely, Brad.
All right, Mr. Doyle. So today's topic, here's what I've been dealing with in my world quite a bit. It's the younger leaders dealing with uncertain times, right? We have all this tariff activity. We have all this noise. We have all these things that many millennial leaders, younger millennial leaders in particular, and even younger Gen Z leaders, have never had to go through and understand how to deal with uncertainty and noise. And hey, everything in my phone is all negative.
Yep.
Our sales are flat. But that could be a growth compared to industry. They don't know, right? Because we're only in our own little bubble, but we have no idea what that comparison looks like.
Right.
So seeing a lot of how do you, I guess the question here is, what are some techniques or ideas to help younger leaders get through uncertainty to lead effectively and not get caught in the land of no decision?
Oh.
Right? Because no decision is still a decision.
It is.
Right? And in many cases, the lack of activity, the lack of a decision is a greater negative impact than making the wrong decision. Right. There's plenty of studies out there, plenty of things that can identify that not doing the status quo when an opportunity exists is usually the wrong thing to do versus making a bad decision.
Freaking out, running around with your hair on fire, telling you the Chicken Little syndrome that the sky is falling. And you just need to, you know, play the ostrich and just shove your head into the ground and just hope it all goes away. I mean, that's a great tactic. That's
one way to analogize it.
Yeah, it's a great tactic. If you want to make sure that, you know, nothing happens, I mean, great. I mean, something does happen. Just everyone else around you is going, what the hell are you doing? Why aren't you doing something about this? Right? There are, for me, this gets down to there are things we can control, things we can't. The things we can't control, why are we thinking about them? Why are we worrying about them? We can't control them. We have to move on. Focus on what we can't control.
Yeah, but that's what my phone tells me. My phone tells me that Armageddon's coming and I got to worry about, you know, I got to worry about what I'm going to do with the 16 guys on the shop floor that may not have work 3 months from now.
Okay, what's in your control with that? What can you control within your work environment? What can you control right now? Armageddon's coming. Who cares? It's coming. Okay, it's coming. What can you control?
Well, do I lay the guys off now? Do I let them know what's going on? Do I communicate that this could happen? What do I do?
Why are you going to communicate to them that Armageddon's coming? they're going to look to you to go, okay, what are we going to do? Some people are just going to say, peace out, I'm out. Some will, but others are going to want to know from you, okay, well, what's the game plan? How do we keep quote unquote Armageddon from happening to this company?
Well, that's all. Right, yes. And this is where it gets to be even more frustrating from my viewpoint is too often it's the try to cut your way to prosperity.
Correct.
And instead of trying to go out and sell your way out of a situation or find efficiency out of it or find better ways to manage that, I am not a fan of cut your way to prosperity because that just hurts you in the long run.
Correct. So this is where I actually would call everybody together. While, quote unquote, if Armageddon is truly going to happen, bring the team together to mindstorm. What are things that we can do? And I would put on the, and I put on the table, we are not putting on the table cutting things, like cutting the work. We are not putting on the table cutting the workforce. But what are things that we can do? What are, you know, so get the collective team to bring ideas to the table, because when we have the collective team bringing things to the table, we now have better and stronger buy-in from an overall action plan perspective. So when you do lay down the gauntlet of we are going in this path, everybody has an understanding. There is a level of buy-in with that path.
Don't disagree with you from that statement, but if the leader is that, I think that is the, that would be the leaders above, right? Uh-huh. The owners, the C-suite executives along the way to set that direction for Correct. Those younger mid-tier to follow direction, so to speak.
Yep.
Which is absolutely 100% agree with. But from a day-to-day perspective, what are some of the things that you would suggest that those younger leaders deal with when, hey, you know, just heard this, you know, company XYZ, our largest customer just laid off 1,500 people.
Okay.
Great. You have no control over that.
Yep.
But the... Right, I might have shop floor workers that are going to work slower, knowing that they're not going to get that the work behind isn't coming in behind it. Right, so that theory of we only work as much work as we have versus hitting delivery dates. Those shop floor leaders or program managers or those folks that might be of younger age may not have had to deal with any of this yet. Mm-hmm. So now we're playing a cat and mouse game with a workforce that. They've dealt with it before and it's no big deal. Mm-hmm. But now you've got other expectations going on with some of those younger leaders that are stuck in the middle.
Yep. And I would throw a caution to that, because there are things that you can do to fill that pipeline if you're willing to do the activity, and it's a longer game. If people around you are pulling back, stuff still needs to get done. And if you're not willing to, if you're willing to fall victim to what everyone else is doing, you're going to get the same result as what they're doing. You're going to cut versus look for those opportunities. Hey, we see that they're scaling back. That means that there's opportunity for us to scale up and take over what these people aren't doing. Or I can call that customer and say, hey, we're here to help and support you in any way. How can we help support you through this? Are there more things that you are looking to offload to support that pipeline? So it's having those conversations, but it's also having the conversations with the workforce to reassure them that, yes, these are the actions that we are taking to help ensure the longevity of the workplace here so that we don't have a slowdown. And we're open to suggestions and ideas like, hey, this is where you're bringing forward those opportunities for people to raise up the concerns, because if you're not addressing their unspoken, you know, thoughts of what's going on, that's where rumors start. That's where dissatisfaction falls into play. People are starting to tell themselves the stories that aren't true because they haven't heard a word from you about it.
Correct. This would be the time to over-communicate.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Right. And to live up to whatever actions you promise, you need to deliver on. Mm-hmm. right? So if your leadership team above you isn't going to do it, if you're going to ask for permission to do something that is different than what maybe upper level management might want you to do,
right?
You can't promise those below or around you that this is what I'm going to do and then say, well, I was told I couldn't.
Yep.
You can't go down that path.
Right.
Because then you'll start losing credibility. And then you're just going to be looked at as potentially, oh, you're just a rah-rah hype man or hype lady that is just telling us things just to tell us things. And how can we ever trust you again?
Right.
Right. Because this is this point in time with all this chaos and all the things that are happening and everybody's perceived perception.
Yep.
Individual employees' perceptions are their own realities, whether they like it or whether you believe it or not. If your employees are feeling unrest, your team's feeling unrest, there's unrest.
Right.
Whether the ownership or leadership team feels it or not, it doesn't matter.
Right.
And you need to address that as a leader. So as a younger leader, right, being willing to have those conversations upstream and being able to say, hey, my team is feeling this way about X, Y, and Z. What's the action plan, sir or ma'am? And then communicating that back down to your team is vitally important.
Yeah.
You having the kahunas to go up to ask the questions to satisfy your own curiosity and to provide and communicate that downward.
Yep.
And those uncomfortable conversations of what's happening are vitally important, not only to your own career path and learning, but also to your organization.
Yes. 100% agree.
Right. And if you're stuck in the middle, you need to be able to manage up as well as manage down. And most younger leaders forget about managing up the chain as well as managing down the chain.
That's a great point. So on that, and while we're still on the topic of uncertain times, what are some suggestions that you have for leaders that need to manage up the chain during uncertain times?
Again, over communicate what's happening, right? If there is and you can't sugarcoat it, and you got to be honest with everybody. I mean, sometimes there's products that just have run their course, right? You might be making shoelace end wrappers, right? And you might be doing them we do them by hand and we custom make them and wrap every shoelace. So it's perfect and high end and premium, but yet the machine that's kicking out thousands of them per minute versus you making 3 an hour.
Right.
Some of that stuff just has to go by the wayside over the course of time. And those are always difficult decisions because great people are typically impacted. So when those things come up, you got to be prepared to be able to say, okay, well, how do I re-leverage those resources? Because those resources have value still. George, who's been doing that, knows so much about certain things that how do I leverage his skills somewhere else in the organization? Can I leverage it on the sales side because he's got the passion and desire for what's happening? Can I leverage it on the design side? Can I leverage it on the operations side? Where can we do that? I was blessed to get through 15 of 16 riffs, so to speak, for opportunities. And they are difficult.
Yes.
They're not fun.
No.
It is stressful as hell. It is everybody's on pins and needles. But when you do the right things for the benefit of the organization, even though the right things are sometimes complicated and difficult, the right thing's still the right thing. And if you're not willing to have a conversation about that and direct and say, how do we leverage those resources differently to, hey, we got this over here. We've been playing with that. We've never really given it resources, but George over here, cool. Maybe he's not a technology guy and he's not going to use GPT to figure anything out or leverage AI to move it along faster. But the guy's got a ton of knowledge. So how do I pair him up with somebody to make that better? And that this is where I think organizations can be successful because I believe the younger workforce is far more solution orientated and creative in providing solutions because they're not stuck. Maybe they've only been there 3 years or 4 years, possibly. They don't have 20 years of bad habits, as we've discussed in the past. They don't have 20 years of bias. They got some of the bias and they got some of the culture, but they've got ideas to potentially move this out of chaos or try something different.
Right.
And if you're not willing to throw those cards on the table, with a plan, then you are the problem, not the solution.
Yeah. I like going down this problem path. You are the problem. Only because a lot of, I will say in my experience, you are the problem is a brought on because the leadership, the senior leadership team haven't spent the time to educate and nurture somebody through uncertain times, because typically those leaders that are more experienced and seasoned, they've been through the uncertain times and they just assume everyone else has.
I was blessed to be able to sit in the room of our purchasing, I'll call him our VP of purchasing, supply chain director, whatever it was at the time, as we were coming in 2001, 2002, we had millions and millions of dollars of debt with no revenue coming in. We would literally get accounting notification. Hey guys, you have $100,000 to pay suppliers this week. Who are you going to go pay? So we would sit in that room, the director and VP and the buyers, we'd sit in that room and look at the aging reports and look at what's what, look at the sales orders.
Yep.
Look and find out who do we have to give conversations to, who do we have to pay, who's going to put us on credit hold, who's going to put us on cash only, what's going to happen, what's coming down the pipeline, so that way we can keep the business, keep the supply of material running through. You want to talk about uncertainty as somebody who's only been, that was 2 years into the job at that time, and I'm in that room to be able to have part of those conversations. I know for certain that is when I built up my own personal power within those conversations, because asking certain questions the way I asked them or coming through or saying, hey, what about this? Because there were other, many of our buyers were potentially, well, I want to take care of my suppliers, so I'm just going to give them all the money. Well, hold on. That doesn't serve the company. That serves you, but that doesn't serve the greater good of the organization.
Right. Absolutely. So, for those younger leaders, Brad, in the uncertain times, what are tips or suggestions you have for them to help build that personal power?
Be curious. Ask questions.
What do you mean by asking questions?
Ask questions of those around you, right? Ask the folks on the floor. Hey, when this happened, and do your learn history. History repeats itself.
Completely.
Over and over and over again.
It does.
Over and whether it's recession, whether it's war, whether it's inflation, whether it's deflation, whether it's taxation, tariff, it does. It happens over and over again. Right. How'd they get through it? What happened last time? Ask people that have been there for a while. What happened in 1983 when this happened, or in 79 during the oil embargo, or what happened at the Persian Gulf when that happened, when everybody's in panic mode, or what happened in 2001 after 9/11?
Yep.
Go get context. Go figure it out, because you're not going to get it from here. You're not going to get your company's culture from your phone. You're not going to get the answers from your phone in this way.
Yep.
You're going to have to go talk to somebody.
You're going to have to go talk to Bert, who's been here for 90 years and can tell you about everything, but he's over there sitting in the corner reading the paper and not sweating it.
Yeah. Make time to go talk to talk to the finance folks if you have access to them. Hey guys, how did this happen last time with production orders and billing and different things? Go ask questions. Be curious seek to understand, not to undermine.
That's a good point right there. That's kind of almost the mic drop right there. Seek to understand, not to undermine. I like that.
Just came to me.
I'm a savant. Boom. I'm like, wow. I think that's a mic drop moment right there. Don't have those too often on this show.
Well, it is us.
It's been a good conversation. Something to continue to think about of how do we as leaders help nurture those that haven't been through this before? So think about that. If you're a leader, what are ways that you need to show up for your younger leaders to help guide them through that uncertainty?
And share and ask for input and support. And be vulnerable to them, right? If you're scared, let them know you're scared of what's going on. Boomer and Gen X, that's not their normal, that's not the normal MO, right? Oh, we got to be strong. We got to be through. We got to get through this. We got to lead from a stance of authority and everything's going to be okay, even though you're shitting bricks.
Guess what? They are too.
Right. Now, you can't necessarily, right? You got to play that a little by ear, right? Knowing how, what the magnitude might be. I don't necessarily want my leader going into sitting there going, oh, I'm scared. Mm-hmm. I'm scared. If they're the owner of the organization, I don't want to show fear completely, but if I'm the owner of the organization, I got to be concerned. I have to address those concerns, show the empathy that I understand, and be vulnerable enough to say, okay, this is similar to 08 or 2012, but not quite the same feeling. So I'm not sure how this is all going to play out,
but
here's the plan moving forward. You know, here's what happened, right? COVID. Nobody could plan for COVID. There was all that uncertainty. And those younger leaders, that's what they have in their reference library. Their reference library is the world shut down.
Everything stopped and we got to go to the park and work remotely. And, you know, we were subsidized. So that's what's going to happen this time.
No.
No.
Not so much.
Not at all. Not at all. So
yes, got to share that information and go forward. So Mr. Doyle, thank you so much. Welcome back from your holiday weekend here this week of May 30th. So enjoy what's left of the holiday weekend and we will talk to you soon, sir.
All right. Sounds great. You too.
All right. Thanks.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Blue Collar BS, brought to you by Vision Forward Business Solutions and Professional Business Coaching, Inc. If you'd like to learn more on today's topic, just reach out to Steve Doyle or myself, Brad Herta. Please like, share, rate, and review this show, as feedback is the only way we can get better. Let's keep blue-collar businesses strong for generations to come.